Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's one from Gaia Calcaterra.
I have a couple of vacation rental properties here in South Florida. It's just a short-term vacation rental, so sometimes 2 days, sometimes a month, and anything in between. And one is in Fort Lauderdale, another one's in Dania Beach. I have to say it's been an absolutely amazing experience having these vacation rental properties because I've just met really, really fascinating and interesting people, like families from Europe or groups from South America, and each and everyone has been absolutely amazing. And then on the 4th of July weekend last year, I got an inquiry before the 4th of July weekend by this young guy whose name was Mark, and he asked if he could rent a house for himself and for his parents. And he was very specific about it. He said that they were coming in from Tampa and that he was so happy to be seeing them and they were just wanting to spend the weekend together. He sounded lovely. And this house is located in Dania Beach, like in a really, really quiet neighborhood, and it's just behind where the old Hialeah or where the new casino is. But it's a super quiet, super safe, you know, very pleasant neighborhood. So I agreed to rent the house to him and his family, and they were scheduled to arrive, I think it was around 3 o'clock, and check in on a Friday afternoon. And I received a call from him an hour before, and he said that his parents' flight had been delayed from Tampa, and he asked if instead of me meeting him, I could just give him the door code and he would let himself in. And, I mean, this is quite common, so I agreed to do that, and it was no problem. I've been renting the property out for 3 years now and have had no problems. And I didn't hear anything until 4 o'clock the next afternoon, which was a Saturday now. And it was a very irate call from my neighbor, the neighbor at the Dania house. Now, he doesn't speak English very well, and I don't speak Spanish very well. But between the two of us, you know, I was able to understand that, A, he was extremely upset, and, B, that he had called the police the night before, and that if I didn't do something about the tenants or the guests that were in the house, that he would. So I was a little surprised because I hadn't heard anything, but I told him that I would contact the guest, which I did. And this guest was, he was ever so sweet. He was like, yeah, the police did come, but it was at 9 o'clock in the evening, not 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was because they had the music a little too loud, but that once the police had come over, they lowered everything and everyone went to sleep. And so now I was sitting with two completely opposing stories that didn't really tie up. And I told this guy, Mark, I said, look, Mark, this is what the neighbors told me. We have a great relationship. I don't want to cause any problems with him. So please, if you could just be respectful of the space and of the neighbors. And to which this guy, Mark, said, oh, absolutely. He reassured me that they were gracious and respectful people and that I could count on him for not causing any problems at all. So I said to him, look, Mark, I'm going to be driving past the house later this evening just to make sure. And he said to me I could drive by at any time I liked and that I would see that there were no problems at all. So perfect. I left it at that. And that evening at 10 o'clock on our way back from Miami, we drove by the house. And it was exactly as you said. There was one car in the parking lot. There were two lights on in the house. And all was quiet in the neighborhood. So we went home. We went to sleep. And at midnight, the phone rang again. And again, it was the neighbor. And he was even more irate than the first time. And he was spewing. He said if I didn't come down there immediately, he was going to call the police that very second. And this was outrageous, and how could this be happening 2 nights in a row? And I assured him that I'd been down there at 10 o'clock the same night and that there was nothing going on. Anyway, to make him happy, my partner and I got dressed and headed down to the Dania house. It's roughly a 10 to 15 minute drive all the way along the road. It was super quiet. And even as we got to the house, it was super quiet. And then I noticed that there were about 6 cars parked on the front lawn. I drove through the alley to the back of the house, and there were probably another 6 cars parked on the back lawn. And so I got out of the car and went to the front door and knocked, and they wouldn't let me in. Luckily, it's a keyless entry, and I had the code. So I let myself in, and it was like stepping into another dimension. The second I opened that door, it was like walking into a nightclub. There must have been about 60 underage kids, girls in miniskirts, smell of pot like coming out the door, broken alcohol bottles, and I was amazed at the lengths that they'd gone to, because they'd unscrewed all the light bulbs in the house and put like disco lights. They'd moved in a whole sound system. It was just like walking into a nightclub. I couldn't believe my eyes. And so it really is every landlord's worst nightmare. So I went into the house and started screaming my head off at these kids. And most of them just looked at me like I was some person's crazy parent, like looking for their kid. And so they all kind of looked at me, and then some of them started sort of heading out, but they didn't seem like they were in any big hurry to leave. And so because we struggled to get them out, I called the police, who arrived shortly after, and even the police struggled to get them out. And we finally found the kid who had rented the house, Mark, and he stood there like so defiantly, like he looked really, really high on something. But he looked at the two of us, and he told the police that he wasn't leaving, and he told me that he wasn't leaving, because until he got his deposit back. And this was wanting a deposit back with broken furniture, broken bottles, broken mirrors. The house is a shambles. Anyway, the police finally escorted him out and got him to leave, and this is now 3 o'clock in the morning. And so my partner and myself spent the rest of the morning cleaning up as well as we could, and calling the insurance company, who wouldn't take any responsibility for malicious damage. They only took responsibility for accidental damage. And so that was our evening. And then very early in the morning, as soon as the stores opened, we went over to Home Depot and bought orchids, and then went to another store and bought chocolates and cards, and then spent the 4th of July going from neighbor to neighbor with my tail between my legs and apologizing profusely and thanking them for their kindness in calling us.
Gaia Calcaterra with a story about every landlord's nightmare.
There are some of us who say, wouldn't it be nice to have enough money so that I could buy a few places and just sit back and watch the money come in through Airbnb or something else? And this is the flip side of that fantasy.
It's really crazy. It's kind of sad that people out there exist just to take advantage of other people.
It is so sad, and yet it is so common. It's kind of a trope. It's kind of an archetype. I remember years ago the movie with Michael Keaton called Pacific Heights is an every landlord's worst nightmare horror story about what happens when the wrong person moves into your house. And Gaia set it up so perfectly. She said twice, she said the experience was absolutely amazing, meeting all these people from different countries, and you're just waiting for that shoe to drop, because that's what happens in a story, or that other shoe to drop, whatever the expression is. And you can't help thinking, well, things are going to be absolutely amazing till they're not, and this is bound to happen sooner or later.
I guess you have to admire his ambition, but the gall he had wanting his deposit back.
And when she called him and when she drove back to look at the play, she was a fine, upstanding citizen. It was almost like, here's a reference to an older movie, Gaslight. You know, it was almost like she was being gaslighted because she went there, she talked to him, fine, sweet person. And when the neighbor is calling twice and she can't believe her ears that this is happening again, she's got to see for herself. And I love that description of opening the door, and she says it's like going into another dimension. There is another piece to this that I found very interesting, the multicultural dimension.
Her accent.
Partly her beautiful South African accent, but she talks about how she had the great opportunity to meet people from all these different countries. But then she mentions that the next door neighbor complaining, she couldn't quite make himself understood because he didn't speak very good English and she didn't speak very good Spanish. And it just sort of fit into this whole larger theme of this story, which is, you know, why can't we just all get along? You know, talk about the Tower of Babel. Not only were people speaking different languages literally, but clearly this guy had a different idea. Her tenant had a different idea of the word respect. She said she was asking for a minimum level of respect. He said we're very respectful. And yet clearly, even speaking the same language, they're two very different cultures.
She did seem like a nice neighbor, even though she doesn't live there. She seemed like she knew her neighbors and was very concerned about her neighbors.
Yes, and the end of the story, she went to Home Depot, and I'm thinking she went to Home Depot to get new carpeting or new lighting or a better lock. When this was all said and done, she went and got orchids for her neighbors, and that is a class act. That is respect.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a story of South Florida they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, if you've got a story of South Florida, that's one thing. If you've got any story at all, I'd love you to come to the new monthly storytelling slam at the Robot Brewing Company, 2621 North Federal Highway in Boca. It's the second Sunday of every month. I will be there July 8th. But if you want to tell a South Florida story, email me at cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click on Radio and the Public Storyteller. Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.